At this time, I'd like to ask Vice President Avijit Ghosh to present an update on the finances of the university system.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The main purpose of my presentation today is going to present details of the state appropriation to the university for the fiscal year FY20. Following which, I would like to present a very brief update on our capital activities. On May 31st, the state legislature authorized the state's fiscal 2020 operating budget, which included appropriations for higher education. It was a historic budget for many reasons. It was on time, bipartisan, backed by revenue, and it included a significant increase to higher education funding. The University of Illinois was appropriated $622 million of operating funds, which is about $27 million or 4.6% increase over the previous year. This is the largest increase we have received since 2001. An accompanying capital appropriations bill, first in a decade, designated $1.3 billion funding for projects submitted by the university system. After the uncertainties of the past few years, this year's state budget provides a great deal of assurance to the public, universities in Illinois, and to prospective students and their parents. I believe it will slow down the out-migration of students from the state and help in revitalizing the state's economy. I want to thank all my colleagues, including many in this room, for their advocacy for the university, and especially thank President Colleen for his leadership in our advocacy efforts. To provide you some more details, the university receives state appropriation in two categories. First is an allocation to the general operating fund, and the second category are allocations made to designated activities such as the hospital and the Prairie Research Institute. In FY20, the general funds appropriation increased by 5%, whereas the designated allocations were retained at its previous level, except for a $500,000 new allocation to the Heart Rescue Program at UIC. The incremental operating funds will be invested in mission-critical goals such as augmenting our faculty strength, supporting faculty and staff compensation, providing greater financial assistance to students, and also to cover some inflationary expenses. Statewide, the budget also provided support for two important statewide programs, financial aid programs. It increased the annual MAP funding by $50 million to a total of $450 million. And it further increased the amount of available AIM High grants for merit scholarships by $10 million to a total of $35 million. It is important to note that a significant change that has occurred in the last few years is that most of funds appropriated to the university is now paid out of the Educational Assistance Fund instead of the General Revenue Fund. The Educational Assistance Fund, or EAF, is a lockbox account. So the funds there is dedicated to higher education appropriation. As a result, we've been receiving our appropriation in predictable and timely manner. As you can see, our year-end receivable, we expect in June 30th, our year-end receivable will only be $11.9 million, and we will receive that very soon in July. But compare it to the previous decade, you can see the difference that having the funds from EAF makes to us. The state also passed a capital bill of $46 billion for roads, bridges, public transportation, and higher education facility. As I mentioned earlier, the University of Illinois system received $1.3 billion of funding as part of that bill. The amount will support three categories of projects. First, new projects that the trustees had approved for submission to the state. Secondly, we received reappropriation of $500 million funding for DPI-related projects that were approved previously. And finally, we also received reappropriation of other funds for other projects, which were never, monies for whom, which were never released before this. These funds are spread at all the different locations we have. The Urbana campus gets $406.5 million of projects that are appropriated. I should note that that includes $100 million to a project which is jointly quantum engineering computing consortium. $331 million will be designated for Chicago, and that includes new buildings as well as the advanced chemical technology building that was appropriated actually in FY 2010, but the funds were never received before. Springfield includes $52.7 million, including a $5.5 million for the public safety building. As you can also see, there's a considerable amount of funding provided to repair and renovations, which is what, which has been a major focus, both for the university as well as the state. These projects are to be managed by the Capital Development Board. And I should also note that there's an additional $188 million of statewide funds for higher education, which has not been demarcated for any particular university yet. I'll stop there a minute to see if there are any questions. In which case, I'd like to spend a few minutes to provide more details on the projects included in the state appropriation, as well as some of our other capital project priorities. So there are a number of specific new buildings as well as that are being focused for the state appropriation. Chicago, the most important one I would like to point out to you is the Computer Design Research and Learning Center. This is about a $100 million project and has been a major focus for the campus for the last few years. Similarly, the Advanced Chemical Technology Building, this is the building I mentioned before, which was appropriated in FY10, and we hope we can now start building it. There are two major projects in Springfield, which we hope to get started with, the Library Learning and Student Success Center, as well as the Public Safety Building, and in Urbana, a project you have heard of before, is the Allgirl Hall renovation, one of the classic buildings on that campus. The DPI project also, the funding for DPI project is also for projects across the three universities, as well as the new facility in downtown Chicago. So we are in discussion with the CDB on the timing and rules of engagement for these projects. We have established site and the scope of these projects, and we have initiated initial planning for a number of these projects, okay? But in addition to those projects which are supported by capital, by the state capital appropriation, we have a number of other major projects in our list, which we hope to get started too. And as you can see, these are some of the lists in Urbana. There are a number of academic facilities, as well as athletic facilities and parking garages. The Childhood Development Center in Springfield is a major focus. And in Chicago, the Drug Discovery and Innovation Platform, the Cancer Center, these are major projects, as well as the College of Business facility. Ambulatory Surgery Center, we have talked about a number of times, and the Hospital Welcome Atrium. We talked earlier about the residence hall that was opened in Chicago recently. But we know there are more needs in the residence hall areas to renovate it, so we will be looking at our second residence hall project soon. So we have already started design planning for at least four projects to get in anticipation of the state appropriation: the Allgaier Hall project, the Ambulatory Surgery Center, Computer Design Research Learning Center in Chicago, and the Hospital Atrium. So I would like to take 5 minutes at the end to talk about our FY19 capital program, what we have done. If we look at FY19, since July 2018, we have completed 115 projects, which total about $440 million of budget. That's a sizable number. But we have also initiated 147 projects in the last year, with a total budget of $504 million. And if we look at it, right at this moment, we have 200 projects currently underway, with budgeted expenditures of $1.3 billion. So if you talk about remaking the physical infrastructure of this university system, we are indeed in the midst of remaking this system. As you can see, these projects are all across all three locations. What's important to know is what type of projects we're doing. Of this $1.3 billion of projects that are undergoing right now, new buildings account for $46.7 billion. As you can see, renovations and maintenance remains a very important aspect of what we do. One of the aspects of the previously in the 5 years, we had really not done many new buildings, as you heard the chancellor talk about before, so we are trying to catch up on those. What's also important is the purpose of these projects. Slightly more than half of these projects are academic projects. And if you look from between FY13 and FY17, very few of our projects were really academic projects. And one of the goals of our capital planning has been to ensure that we really work on our academic facilities. How are the projects funded? So far, there are not active projects because we didn't have state capital appropriation. Only a small part of our budgets come from capital appropriation, only 9%, and most of this was from a single building, the ECE building in Urbana. Okay. As you can see, we have relied a lot on our own operating funds. Plus bonds and P3 is a sizable number there, but what we should remember is that ultimately bonds as well as P3 leases get paid out of operating funds. So we still rely considerably on our own operating funds to fund the capital appropriations, which we hope in the future with the state capital appropriation that this graph will look very different as we move ahead. Three projects, actually, we talked about two already. Chancellor Emeritus talked about two of these projects. We also have the Football Performance Center at Urbana, which will be opening late in August. We also undertook a capital delivery process review. We reviewed how we had an external team come in and look at our own capital delivery process to look at how we compare against our peers in terms of how long it takes for us, what the cost of it is, and how we can improve the way we do things in terms of capital delivery. And I'd like to share just a few highlights and recommendations that they have made. First point I want to share that it is true that our projects take longer than our peers, and therefore, when it takes longer, time is money, it costs us more because it takes longer. And there are two main reasons why it takes longer. One is the state regulation do put a lot of constraint on how we do business in terms of capital delivery. But it's not just the state. We have to look at some of our internal processes. We have many layers of approvals with long timelines, which tend to make our projects go much slower than it should. But there are other aspects that are also important. We need more active project management than we have done in the past. We have some areas where we need to be, there's a lack of clarity during the project conceptualization that happens. But one of the salient observations is the fact that our lack of ability to do design-build processes. And if we did have that capability, we would reduce our project completion time by 33%. That's the estimate that has been provided, and reduce our costs by 6%. You heard Chancellor Amadeus talk before about the P3 project, the residence hall project, how it was done so fast and quick, and it came below budget. Now that is a design build project. But we, unless we do a P3 arrangement, which can be done only on limited cases for certain types of projects, the university does not have the ability, because of the state regulations, to design build projects. What we have to do instead, so in design build, what you're doing is you're hiring the same person to help you design the project and then actually build and deliver the project. Instead of that, what we are required to do, first of all, is to hire somebody to design the project, then hire contractors to build the project. And we're also required not just to hire one general contractor, but at least 5 different contractors for the same project. And that creates a tremendous amount of inefficiency. Also, you can see, with 5 different contractors, no one person is totally responsible for delivering things on time and below budget. So you lose the accountability in this process. So this whole process is really affecting the efficiency of our project delivery. So one of our goals that we would like to do is to sort of really advocate with the state to change some of these processes. And even further, some of the other restrictions that we have. So for example, any project above $250,000 need multiple contractors. That is not a very efficient way of trying to do construction. So we are moving ahead. We're going to, our next steps here is really we want to ramp up our advocacy efforts to modify state regulations. We have to also work with the individual universities to have adequate staffing. Then we're going to engage external post-contract auditors. We would like to have every project audited after it's been constructed, so that we can look at whether the MAPB participation is what was promised, and making sure that a contractor who does not deliver what was expected is not really contracted again. We need to work on our internal processes, approval processes to improve it. And we need to, again, work with the state to explore the feasibility of really more digital bid submissions, which we can't do now. So there are a number of areas where we want, and we have launched a project in the next few months. We'll be implementing many of these ideas to move forward to make our project more efficient. As I think I have mentioned to this board before, my goal is to make sure that we are delivering these projects in a very cost-efficient kind of way. These are very large numbers amounts of money that we are spending. It is a fiduciary responsibility to do it most efficiently. And that's the end of my presentation. Chairman Edwards, we'll be happy to answer questions.
Questions for Dr. Ghosh? Avijit, I'd just like to thank you for the presentation on our capital. As you well know better than anyone else, creating a long-term capital plan was a directive of the board, and we appreciate your efforts in that regard. In addition, reviewing our process for capital projects implementation, cost containment, was another request of the board. And again, we appreciate your following up on this important initiative to take advantage of what I might add is a first major capital allocation to the University of Illinois system by the legislature in many, many, many years. So we're very thankful to the legislature and the governor for supporting once again capital for the University of Illinois system. That being said, we will not be satisfied with our current allocation and always be advocating legislatively for more capital for the system. But thank you.
Thank you.